So much. It's been a little while since it's on, right? We're good?
Yep.
Okay. I'm technologically challenged, so I always have to check on these things. It's been a little while, in fact, quite a number of years since I've been here, but have been in touch and had the privilege and the blessing of being with Matt and Kari at Workers' Retreat, and then sometimes dropping by to pray together, talk together, walk around your hill, pray a little bit, have lunch in your town. Because when we talk about reaching the world, we start where we're at, and that's right here. And so this morning, I want to share out of the passage that was read, Luke chapter 10, and really there is way more in there than we can cover. We're going to highlight three things. And I have a handout. I'll leave it with you if anybody wants to pick it up after. It's different than what I'm actually going to preach. So that's why I didn't hand it out at the beginning, because I didn't want you to look at it and then say, hey, where is he going? Why does this not work here? But as I've been praying into it and changed it up a little bit. But as Matt said, I work in missions mobilization. And I want to, first of all, thank you that you are mobilized. Because we pray over every church and over every congregation, and out of this congregation you have given faithfully to the Global Advance Fund. That's the fund through which we send out about 200 plus missionaries around the world, and I want to say thank you for that. You've been mobilized, because I came in and Pastor Matt said, well, let's go in here because we're going to pray. We're about prayer here. We're pro-prayer. Sorry. Boy, he should be a lawyer. And then to join together with all of you, with Matt leading us in prayer, I can tell your people pray. And it's through prayer that everything happens. And it's through the kind of praying that is in agreement with God's word and in union or unity with the Spirit, the Father, and the Son. And so those aren't our texts this morning, but if you go to Romans chapter 8, it says that Jesus is always interceding for us. Whoa! Our God that we worship is always praying for us, and he invites us in. And then it says in the same chapter that the Holy Spirit is always interceding. And then we can find other places where we see that the Father is doing the same. And so when we come into agreement with the Word of God and we pray His will, we know for sure it's going to happen. So that's kind of like the foundation for what we want to do here this morning. All right, are you ready? I asked your pastor how long you preached. He said about a half an hour. But I was in Latin America for 20 years. You know, half an hour is pretty flexible. I preached once for 40 minutes there, and another guy, the pastor, got up and preached for another half hour. He didn't think I long enough. So I don't know how you are here, but let's get started. Can you all stand up, please? Stand up if you're able. If you're not able, that's fine. And repeat with me, Lord,
Lord,
raise us up, and send us out. Sit down. If you do something physical when you say something, it's better, you actually remember it better. But so that's our first point. Lord, raise us up and send us out. So let's just pray for one moment. Jesus, thank you that this whole place is bathed in prayer, that these are a people of prayer, that they're mobilized in prayer, that you're continuing to move them out in prayer. And so I agree with what has been prayed here in general, in the sense that they want to be a missionary church, reaching their neighbors and the nations for Jesus. And so we pray for the anointing of your Spirit on your word, because that's what really counts, and on your people who receive it, and on your servant who delivers it. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Lord, raise us up and send us out. So what's the context of this passage? And we need to always look at context in Scripture to help us make sure that we're interpreting it correctly and applying it correctly. But basically, Jesus has come. He has chosen his disciples, and specifically the apostles, the 12, who would be the foundation of the church. And they've been passing time with him. And then he sent them out in chapter 9. Okay, they went out on mission and came back. And that was an amazing thing. And now here in chapter 10, he's sending out a greater number. It says here 70, or in the footnotes, some say 72, so we're not quite sure. And I asked somebody, why was it that it was 72? Anybody here know? Anybody have an answer? I've read a lot of different things in the commentaries and all that, and there's some other explanations. But one guy said to me, he says, I think that's how many showed up that morning. And there's actually a great truth behind that, and that is that Jesus was moving from the 12 to the general body of Christ, to those who would make up the church, and he was calling them onto mission. And so he had them there, and he sent them out. He was going to go out and visit a bunch of towns, and he says, go before me. And then even before they go, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest, or depending on your translation, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest field. So this is our first point. We need to agree with what Jesus said related to his heart, his desire. And it's easy enough to say, Lord, raise them up and send them out. But that's not quite exactly what we're supposed to be doing. We need to include ourselves. And when I first preached this passage, honestly, I'm ashamed. I just preached about to the nations and out there and far away. But as I looked at it, I said, this is them right there in that context. And this is us right here in this context. Look how many people are here. Like, look around right now. Look around. Look around. Go ahead. You can look around. You can even say hi. Look at how many people are here. Okay? So all of you, all of us, are being mobilized as we pray. You are going out into this town, this community, your neighborhood, to the hockey rink, to the library, if you have a library, I don't know what all is here, but you know, all of those places, and you're saying, Lord, raise me up, send me out. I got a Marco Polo. I'm very non-technical, but that's a little video thing, and our family's all hooked up on it, and we talk back and forth, and my son this week, I was crying actually. He gets on there and says, hey, all pray for me. That's our family unit. Pray for me because I really want to reach my neighbors for Jesus, and I just felt like I was supposed to go to my neighbor and invite him over to play games. My son is 20. His neighbor's like as old as me. This is a terrifying experience for him. He said, but I did it. And they said yes, and they're coming. This is as simple as we're talking about, being mobilized on mission. Lord, raise us up and send us out. I'm part of a little house group that we're seeing if we can establish a house church or expression of faith, a community of faith in a very difficult part of Saskatoon. And Joel, who is the main guy, and they've moved in there, he and his family and their four little children, and they just love their neighborhood, and they're always going out. And he, I won't use the neighbor's name just for personal reasons, but he names the name, and he says, man, this guy, he invites me over to his house, he comes over to my backyard, and he said, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute under the third point, or the second point, but he said, we're just always hanging out together. I said, you're on mission. Are you praying this prayer? Lord, raise me up and send me out. It's literally, we should pray it every single morning before we get out of bed. Because the Lord has people out there, and that's what we're going to pray about next, talk about next, but he has them out there, and they're ready. So pray, Lord, raise us up and send us out. All of us locally, and then some of us globally. Okay? Because in this group, this whole group, there might only be one or two or three who will go globally. But my prayer is, I spend time in fasting and prayer, that out of every single one of our churches, we would be sending someone to the nations that are least reached. That means they have little or no access to Jesus. That means they would get up in the morning in their community, and unlike here, where they could come to a place and hear the Word of God preached, or they can turn on their TV or their radio and hear the Word of God preached, they can't there. And we have people, we have international workers, missionaries, who are in those kinds of countries. I've visited them. I was in a church, I was in a country, in a place where they said, as far as we know, there's been no Christian church here for 1,500 years. And in that place, when I went in, they had the offering basket. It was just a basket. And everybody took their phone and put it in there. And they took it out into the other room and covered it up because they knew that they were being listened to. And there was only about 12 people there. And they said, that's a mega church. I have another friend in North Africa. He was actually a Mexican missionary pastor. He said, yeah, we had a mega church of 4. And he said, we would go out into the woods and we would go to places where we couldn't be discovered and we would share Jesus. And you know, the two of those people in that church actually had personal appearances of Jesus to them. They were sitting in their house and they heard a knock on the door. One of them heard a knock on the door. He went to the front of the door. He opened up and literally it was Jesus. And he says, I'm knocking. Will you let me in? But if that person hadn't been there, if he hadn't been sent, there was no one there to open the door. Lord, raise us up, all of us locally, some of us globally. And so pray this prayer. Start with your kids and your grandkids. And you go, oh, Paul, going from preaching to meddling. I don't want my grandchild to go to the other side of the world. Well, neither do I emotionally and personally. But I prayed every day that my kids will have kids and that my kids will go and that my grandkids will go. We can't pray, Lord, send them. Raise them up and send them out. We send ourselves. And so, and in your church, that this would become part of the culture of your church, that from the nursery to the old people, everyone is praying this prayer and for them. Over your little ones, over your young people. My mom and dad were missionaries in West Africa. They were there for about 12 years. They had to come back. I grew up in a missionary-saturated environment. And my parents never said, Paul, you need to be a missionary. But I saw them over and over and over and over again, with their Bible out and tears streaming down their face, saying, God, send at least one of my kids to the nations. And when I was 21, even though I had no intention of doing that, God heard their prayer of 21 years and touched my heart and called me out. And so that's what we need to be doing. And some of you know Michaela. That's her pseudonym. She actually has another name. You had her here via video or something. She's one of our international workers. Her story is this. She didn't even know Jesus in high school, but she went to one of our churches. They had it. It was like a youth group, and she was there, but she didn't know Jesus yet. And the pastor and his wife and the elders and their wives, they were all had been gathered together. They said, we haven't ever sent out an international worker. Let us pray for this. Let us pray for this. And they were praying and meeting. And the gal who God was going to send didn't even know Jesus yet. And then she came to know Jesus, and then they had a missions weekend, and the missionary just said, if you're willing to do whatever God wants you to do, why don't you come up here and we'll pray for you? And Michaela said, of course I want to do that. I just came to know Jesus. I want to do anything he wants me to do. And she came up, and they prayed for her, and after she said, these people all came around, like the wives and the elders and the pastor, and said, oh, it's so great, you're going to be a missionary. She said, I went home and cried. Because she said, and she prayed, and she said, Lord, I didn't know that's what I was responding to. That's what she said. But then she said, Jesus, if that's what you want, that's what I want. And now for decades, she has served Jesus in another place. Will you pray, Lord, raise us up, all of us locally, and some of us globally? I can tell you story after story after story. If you sit down with their international workers, almost all of them had some significant person or church praying for them before they were called. So I look forward to the day when Pastor Matt calls me and says, yep, we got one here, two, three, four, whatever. And we're getting ready to send them out to the place where they have little or no access to Jesus. Okay, so you got that? Let's stand up again, please. We're going to do exactly the same thing. Lord, raise us up and send us out. Ready? Lord, raise us up and send us out. Amen. Okay, you can sit down. Second part of the prayer. So that was in verse, and there's other very important things in here that you can pray, and they're in the outline if you want to go over them after. But the next one we'll go to verse 5. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on you. If not, it will return to you. And then it says in verse 8, when you enter a town and welcome, eat what is set before you. There is this whole concept, and it would have been very much more relevant in their culture, but we need to understand it. And that is this idea of when you receive somebody with hospitality, they come under your protection, they come under your provision, because you have extended that to them. And so when we say, so first of all, raise us up and send us out, locally and globally. Second part is, Lord, take us to people of peace and prepare people of peace. Okay? Take us to people of peace and prepare people of peace. And a person of peace is a person, I go back to Joel, who his friend, he says, you know, my neighbor just wants to hang out. He wants to come here and he wants me to go there. And I want to put a little caveat, a little parenthesis in here. And he says, and he has a very foul mouth, and he says things that, oh, they make my ears burn. But this is who Jesus has sent us, because we've said, bring us a person of peace. And I said, well, you let the Lord take care of all the foul language, and you love this guy and his wife. Lord, take us to people of peace and prepare people of peace. We were in Mexico for 20 years, and I can give you at least 10 stories. I won't tell them all. I can't. We don't have time. But this one family, if I can find their names here, Sonia. Sonia was the mom. Perla was the daughter. Perla goes to the little grocery store, and she's buying something, and the guy who runs the grocery store, he's not even a Christian, but he's part of our church, okay? So he's also a person of peace, but he doesn't know Jesus yet. And he just says to Perla, just out of the blue, you know, we have a little group here. We read the Bible and pray and sing, and why don't you come? And Perla goes home, and she says to her mom, Sonia, Mom, I think we found what we've been praying for. They don't know Jesus. They're very religious. But they're seeking for something that they don't yet have, and they don't know what it is. And her mom, Sonia, says, well, let's go. They immediately go, and within weeks come to know Jesus. They are people of peace. And then Sonia says to us, do you think that we could have a group like that they have over there in our house? We went, I don't know, we're pretty busy. No, we said, yes. Yes, and who will come? And she said, well, I don't think my husband will come, not yet. But one or two of my sons might come. And we went there, and we start to share the gospel and read the word. And one by one, I can give you their names. One by one, every single one of their family members came to know Jesus, including her husband. He would sit on the stairs where you couldn't see him because he really liked music. And Heather Hahn, one of our international workers, I take no credit for this, not that we should take credit at all, but she was the one God used. It was not my story, it's her story. And she would play the guitar and sing. And Manuel said, I sit on this top step first couple weeks, and I went down one more, then I went down one more, and on the fourth one, that's when you could see him. And he'd been there for 4 or 5 weeks. And then finally he came down, and then Heather says, you like music? He said, oh, I love music. She hands him his guitar and says, well, I'll teach you this little song, worship. And Manuel comes to know Jesus. That's one story of people of peace. These people live down our street. So this one is our story. They live down our street. We spent 21 days in fasting and prayer, and we saturated our community. And we had 200 people across Canada and the United States praying for us for 21 days and joining us. And through all of that, we came to know our neighbors. And you know, we did life with them, we went to their parties, stuff, nothing for 2 years. 2 years later, all of a sudden, the one son shows up at our little house church. And And lo and behold, he's come to know Jesus. He said, I'm looking for somebody to disciple me. I want to know how to follow Jesus. I said, come on in. And then he brings his mom, and then he brings his sister and brother-in-law. Now, he was a military captain in the Mexican army. Now he's a pastor. 35 years of age, he gave up all of his status and everything, and he said, I think God's called me to pastor. Now his brother-in-law and sister and brother-in-law, Gilberto and Laura, who are my closest friends in Mexico, pastor one of our new churches. People of peace. They exist right here in Fort Capel. They do. And so just pray this simple prayer. Lord, lead us to people of peace and prepare people of peace. Pray that for yourselves, and then pray that. And you know Michaela, and we have, if you need other missionaries, if you say we need a name, we need a relationship, we can, I've talked to Pastor Matt about that, we can find those people for you. And you are connected to his parents, and you're connected to people who are here in this church who work with First Nations people. But pray that prayer for yourself and for others. Lord, lead us to people of peace and prepare people of peace. Does it make sense? It's not hard. Jesus is already praying it. Holy Spirit is already praying it. Father is already praying it. He longs for you to join him. And it will come to pass. It will. Because he says, if even two of you agree together concerning something that is my will, it's going to happen. And this is definitely his will. When we wrap up, we'll go back to Matthew 24 about, you know, this gospel of the kingdom preached in the whole world is a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Remind me to come back to that. The third part of the prayer. And like I said, there's about six or seven here that you can lean into and pray, but we're just highlighting three. So, Lord, raise us up and send us out, all of us locally, some of us globally, and pray into that in your church. Make that part of your culture. And then, Lord, prepare people of peace and take us to people of peace. So we don't know who they are, but we actually build bridges and we share the gospel and we invite people in to discover who they are. So it's not like it's magic. It's just part of living. I honestly think my neighbor next door, and I'm pretty slow, I haven't been as obedient as I should have been, and I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I'm praying. But I really believe our neighbor right next door is a person of peace. We've had a chance to spend more time with her. And so we pray that. And then we pray the third one, coming out of verse 9. We pray, Lord, present your power. Lord, present your power. Verse 9 says this, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. And that's a whole, people have dedicated their whole lives to studying the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God. It's him coming and bringing to us what's available in heaven. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And often when he was preaching and he would release power, he would do miraculous things, he would say, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Okay? So we're praying that God will present his power, that he will do things that we can never do. How many things are we praying for that we cannot do? We absolutely cannot do. That's the kind of prayer that goes here. And we don't know exactly how it'll happen. We don't know exactly how God will manifest himself. And I know that healing is a very difficult matter. But he is our healer. And it's who he is. And I have prayed for people and fasted for people, and they've died. I'm being right up front honest. I'm not trying to lead you down a trail. There is a kingdom thing going on that I don't even understand. But many, many, many times God has graciously presented his power, has healed and has delivered. Locally and globally, every single one of these, locally and globally. So you're praying for that. I noticed it in the pastoral prayer. He prayed for people who are sick, that God would touch them. That's what we do. And he does. At workers' retreat just a couple weeks ago in Saskatoon, on Monday night, had testimony stories, people just saying, you know, what is God doing? And the pastor from McDermott Drive Alliance in Brandon got up and told a story about one of his young people. And they have been taught to pray in this way, that the kingdom of God would come, that God would display his power. And they went to high school, and his friend had, I think he had broken his leg. The details I'm not positive about, but it was a very significant thing. And so this young follower of Jesus walks down the hallway, sees his friend, and says, hey man, what happened? And his friend says, oh, I broke my leg, or whatever it was. It was very serious. And this young guy, he wasn't having one of those, wow, I feel like God is in it today. I just feel like there's a miracle coming on. And he wasn't having one of those. He was having one of those days feeling kind of discouraged and downhearted. But he hears the little prompting of the Spirit. Why don't you pray? So he says to his friend, well, can I pray for your leg? Guy says, yeah, sure. And he prayed a very simple prayer. I don't know what the words were, but the pastor said it was a very simple prayer. And his friend goes, man, it's all hot. Like, it's really super hot. It's feeling weird. And the young follower of Jesus says, that's a good thing. I've been told that's a good thing. Can I pray again? Prayed again, and literally that young man, his leg was completely healed. The story was all over the high school. Pray that God's power would be demonstrated so people will know. It will turn their attention. It will turn their focus to who God is. And will open up their hearts. So pray it locally. I pray with a guy. I pray with a bunch of old guys. You think I'm old? My prayer partners are much older. And they are great. Man, they know Jesus and they know his word and they pray out his word. I went to meet with one of my guys this week. And we're praying for his daughter who's, I don't know, she's maybe 40, 45. She's got cancer really bad. Different kinds of cancer. And this week, she's not healed yet. But this week, for the first time ever, the doctor said, we see some very significant changes in your body that are good signs. And right there in Tim Hortons, he and I are just crying. We're just saying, thank you, Jesus. Display your glory. Bring people to you. Locally, here, and globally. And especially for those who go, who are pushing into new territory where there is no church or there are few followers of Jesus. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it. But it seems like God's power is displayed on a more frequent basis. I don't know if I can say it that way. I think I'm going to say it that way. Because in Mexico, so I think I might have told this story here before, but it bears repeating. You know, the stories in the Gospels, we read them over and over, and we don't say, oh, I've read that one before, we shouldn't repeat that, you know? So our own stories where God has been at work. But I can tell you three like this. I just give you one. His name was Noé. And he was, I don't know if he'd ever even been to the church, but his daughters had been there once or twice. So they weren't part of the church. It was like if somebody had visited here maybe once, and someone says, oh, yeah, I remember that one of them came once. Well, he was in the hospital, and he was dying, and they called the church and said, can you please send somebody now to pray for him? And I wondered about the now, but then I understood culturally, they believe that if they don't have last rites, if somebody doesn't pray for this guy before he goes, he's done. And they couldn't get any of their own religious leaders to do that. And I actually went, I didn't want to go. We were having a big fiesta. We were having a big party. It was our last weekend. I wanted to be there. I wanted to hang out with all the people that we had come to know. This was after 4 years of being there, and we were coming home, Canada, for 1 year. But I went out of obedience. And this is an important point. Sometimes we won't feel anything. Sometimes we may even feel like we don't want to go. But if we'll be obedient as we're praying this prayer, God will do things. So I go there, and I get in there, and there's a big room. Like, I don't think it was this big, but it was big. And there were lots of beds, and it smelled terrible, and there was just a lot of dying people in there. And they had told me bed number 7 or whatever it was, and I went there, and I see this skinny little man, like tubes coming all out of him, and he's just skin and bones. And literally, I can't tell you what I prayed. I just opened my Bible and started reading, and I shared a very simple gospel. I said, I didn't even know if he could hear me. I didn't know if he was conscious or unconscious. And I said, Noé, if you can hear me, Jesus came to forgive your sins. And if you're willing to believe in him and agree with him, then it's as simple as that. Call out on him. And then when I finished, and this is where we're praying the prayer, God, you know, demonstrate your power. I said, Noé, Jesus also came to heal the sick. And so I'm going to pray for you. I prayed a very simple prayer. It didn't have to do with my great faith. I didn't even want to be there. It didn't have to do with me putting the right words together. It's like I couldn't articulate them. And I went away, and the enemy, you know, when we pray and we obey, the enemy then talks really loud. And I remember driving away in a taxi, and I remember hearing the enemy say, that was such a waste of time. You should have been, you know, with your friends over at the church. The doctors had said, 48 hours max, this man will be dead. 48 hours. Noé walked out of the hospital. He walked out of the hospital on his own, came to church the next Sunday, and said, can I say something? Can you imagine, Pastor Matt, if you didn't know this guy from anywhere, and he says, can I get up there and talk? I thought, I don't know what he'll say, but I suppose, yeah? And he gets up, and he says, last Sunday, Jesus came to me, and he forgave my sins, and he healed me, and I want to follow him. Pray for the demonstration and the release of the power of God. And like I say, I could tell you 3 stories very similar. Another guy, they were going to unplug all of his support system. He was 18 years old, and he had some kind of a brain thing that just blew out his brains, and he was going to die. And God graciously reached down with his power and touched him. And when he gave his testimony, his story, he said, I was like, I knew Jesus was in the room. And he said, and I couldn't see him, but I knew he was there. And I could actually feel him touch my feet. And from the bottom of my foot to the top of my head, it was like electric current passed through my body, and I was completely healed. Maybe they're big like that. Maybe they're very, very small. It doesn't matter. When we pray in Jesus' name and he releases his power, then he does the work in the person that we're praying for and with, and his kingdom comes. And so, we wrap up. Jesus, he was talking about wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24, I think it is. We could go there and read it, and you'd say, well, it's today. This is what it is. It's happening. And in the middle of it, for some strange reason, he puts in this phrase, this gospel of the kingdom, there it is again, his kingdom, his reign, his rule, it will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And that word nations, many times we confuse that with countries, like Canada is a country, right? It's a geopolitical entity. It has borders and it has a certain leadership. That's a country. But in the Bible, when it talks about nations, it's a group of people who have the same language, culture, customs, and identity. And so Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom will preach in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And so when we pray this prayer, Lord, raise us up and send us out, all of us locally, some of us globally. Lord, take us to prepared people and prepare people. And Lord, demonstrate your power as you touch those that we're praying for so that they will come to know you. All of it is with this goal in mind, that every single nation on the planet will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you read the last part of the book, my friend, one of my friends, he was an ex-special RCMP officer. He was a bit of a different pastor. He was a little tough. But he loved to say, Paul, I've read the book. I know how it ends. And it says there that around the throne of God was someone from every tongue and every language and every people and every nation. God's going to do it. The question is, will we participate with him? Will we join in with him? I invite you to do that. And to pray in this way, to touch your community, and to see some nation that maybe has no access to Jesus and someone from here who's going to go there. And all of the networks that you have, that they would be influenced by this prayer. Father, this is your word. We simply want to agree with your word and be obedient to your word. So I pray that you would sow this into our hearts, this simple prayer. Raise us up and send us out. Take us to prepared people and prepare people. Demonstrate your power in the coming of your kingdom so people will open their eyes and receive you. We pray this in your name, Jesus.